This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Daytona to D.C., Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us on Draft Day. Coming up, of course, tonight, now less than 12 hours from now, we will have our first picks of the NFL draft, and we'll break it down this morning. Coming up on the show 1 hour from now, our friend Tiki Barber will join us. Tiki's going to drop on by, co-host of Tiki and Tierney, right here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk to him about his expectations, his analysis of today's first round, and some draft day memories from him as well. He'll drop on by the show 1 hour from now. Also, CBS Sports NFL Insider senior writer Will Brinson is going to join us on what to believe and what not to believe in the hours leading up to the first round of the draft. Will Brinson will join us 2 hours from now to lead off the third hour of the show. What should we believe coming from Cleveland when it comes to the Browns at number one and number four? The Raptors take a step closer to advancing into the second round as a one seed. And why has it taken so long for Oklahoma City to do that? It's all coming up this morning here on the show. So much to get to. We are chock full of NBA playoff analysis and reaction and NFL draft previews. So any of it you want to jump in on, there were four NBA playoff games last night. Also, a wild and woolly Game 7 in Boston as the Bruins outlast the Maple Leafs to move on to the second round. That one was a doozy. Plus, anything going on to the NFL draft, it's all on the table for you. Weigh in at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. And remember, you can always watch the simulcast going on as we speak at watchda.com. We have to begin with LeBron. Because LeBron, in what amounted to as close to a must-win game as you could have in the first round, it was a 2-2 series. You have Game 5 at home. If you lose Game 5 at home, now you not only have to stave off elimination on the road in Game number 6, but then also close out in Game number 7 at home. Certainly not a must-win because you're not facing elimination, but it is a crucial juncture of the series, to say the least. It's a tie ball game late, and LeBron smacks it away from Victor Oladipo on the glass and then comes back down the floor and launches the shot that would end the game in classic, epic, legendary fashion. Was this an all-time LeBron moment back-to-back and a belly-to-belly? It is where we begin. It is your cold open.
Shot clock down to 6. Oladipo gets a running start at LeBron, goes to the foul line down the lane. Blocked by LeBron! He cracked it down from behind, and the Cavaliers take a timeout! Oh, what a play by the four-time MVP! We're tied at 95. Jeff Green to trigger from the far side. He'll find LeBron up near the timeline. LeBron goes to work, fires a three for the win. He nailed it! LeBron James, the defining player of his generation, has done it once again!
As a kid, you always have those, like, those 3-2-1 moments, you know, when you're a kid and being able to have one of those moments. And that's what it kind of felt like. It just felt like I was a kid all over again, just, you know, playing basketball in my house.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
John Michael, Cavs Radio, LeBron after the game. Yeah, it was an all-time LeBron moment for that series and what it meant in the series, it happening in the playoffs, and overall, the game that LeBron had. I mean, dude finished with 44 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. He also was perfect from the free throw line at 15 for 15. So LeBron goes for 44, 10, and 8. Perfect from the stripe. And game-saving block with 5 seconds left. Also pulls it down and calls the timeout. And then drills the three-pointer for the win at the buzzer. Yeah, it is an all-time LeBron playoff moment. And that's saying something. Now, it's only the first round. It's not the East Finals. It's not the NBA Finals. So he's had greater. The block against the Warriors in the Finals was greater. His performance in 2007 against the Detroit Pistons to push that series beyond and push that Cavs team into the Finals was greater. LeBron's Game 7, when they knocked off the San Antonio Spurs for his second title, was greater. But this is on that short list of incredible, impeccable LeBron playoff moments. Now, was LeBron's block a goaltending? I think it was. I think that that ball bounced off of that glass a shred of a half of a second before LeBron got there. And I think that should have been called goaltending. I think watching it time and time again from multiple angles, it's bang, bang. It's tough to tell. But I think the ball hits the glass just before LeBron gets there. And it should have been called a goaltending. But that's not LeBron's fault. Either you call it or you don't. And if it's not called, is LeBron not supposed to challenge that ball? Is he supposed to not try to get there a half a second before it goes off glass? He's doing what he's supposed to do, challenging the shot. It's not called. It's a swing for the Cavs. And then he is the one that also buries the dagger into the Pacers. Now, this series isn't over. It's just a game 5. And now we go back to Indianapolis. And let's face it, the Pacers have every shot of winning that game 6. I actually think that they will, and I think it'll be Cavs in 7. But last night, that sequence and what it meant for the Cavs, and on top of it, what it was overall for LeBron in a game where he had 44, 10, and 8. Yeah, that's an all-time LeBron playoff moment. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. And let me just tell you this. Yeah, I think that was goaltending, not called. But man, the LeBron haters are feeling more and more lonely by the day. If you're still holding on to your Michael Jordan binky,
LeBron can't be the best because Michael's the best, and I love Michael because he was my binky growing up. I grew up in the day and age of Michael Jordan, so LeBron will never be Michael Jordan. LeBron is too big. He's cheating. He's a flopper. He's not clutch.
If you're still holding on to all that, it's becoming more and more pathetic. I'm not saying LeBron has surpassed Michael Jordan for the greatest of all time. I'm saying you're lame and immature and biased and pathetic if you can't admit that he is one of the greatest players of all time easily, and he's still 15 years in the league playing at that level, which is extraordinary. It's become less and less because it's become more and more ridiculous to hate on LeBron.
He loses too many NBA finals. He lost to the Mavericks in the finals.
It's becoming so pathetic to keep going back to those things because all he does is continue to play at a level we have not seen certainly since Michael and maybe not outside of Michael ever. He's going to go down in history as one of the three greatest players of all time. He's already probably there. There's still plenty of basketball to go. He might get there to surpassing Michael. But the people that hold so dearly onto Michael Jordan,
LeBron could never play in the 80s and 90s. He could never beat the Bad Boy Pistons.
It's becoming more and more pathetic if you keep holding on to that because LeBron just keeps doing that type of stuff. Last night, J.R. Smith went 0-for-8 from the field. 0-for. And once again, Kevin Love couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So his second-best player on the floor was Kyle Korver. I mean, come on. The only reason the Cavaliers can win anything is because LeBron has to do that. If you took LeBron off of this Cavaliers team, the Cavaliers would be the Magic. They'd be the Suns. They'd be the Knicks. They'd be the Nets. They would be one of the five worst teams in basketball. He's done it every which way, forever, and he keeps doing it, and he keeps dropping our jaw to the ground. He keeps doing things that you just can't believe. He just keeps piling up records and consistency and wins and moments.
Michael, because I love Michael.
Well, you're a child then. I have no problem saying Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player of all time. But if you can't watch LeBron right now and know that we are watching an all-time great, easily one of the three best players of all time, if you can't appreciate that, then you're a child. Because it's astonishing what he's still able to accomplish. It's astonishing what his career has been. It's astonishing his consistency. It's astonishing he's never hurt. It's astonishing how often he comes up big when it matters. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Why did it take so long for Oklahoma City to finally find its guts? That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
The new Permission Granted podcast is out. The PGP, the show about the show within the show. Kenny Brock drops on by to talk about the insanity that is Philadelphia right now. It's in the news every single day, both news and sports. Also, Bogish and Bilotti break down the genius that is Sundays with Sterling, the John Sterling train wreck audio of his call-in show that we played yesterday. And I got to tell you, I got more feedback from that segment than I would say every other thing we've done over the last 2 weeks. Everything we have done since Death by Salsa and One Spicy Moment.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Our break. I see what our break is.
Yeah.
Sundays with Sterling is the most gorgeous, beautiful train wreck in radio. And being able to play some of the worst of was truly a gift from the gods.
No,
well, that was Drew. Here is Matt in Westchester.
Nope. Still Drew. You can check that out on YouTube. We put that clip there of all those tremendous moments. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. PGP is out right now. Last night, Oklahoma City looked dead. OKC looked like it always does. Disinterested. Disengaged. Walking to the finish line. Moping to the end of their season. The Jazz held a 3-1 series lead. They had just blitzed OKC in Utah. And the Thunder trailed by 25 points. Jazz were going to make short work of a team that didn't play well together, didn't seem to like playing with one another, and simply could not find it deep within themselves to play to their potential. When Russell Westbrook acquired Paul George, it seemed like a new lease on life. And then when they acquired Carmelo Anthony, it seemed like, wow, they've really got weapons now. And the season just became a slog for OKC. They started off slow and then continued into the regular season, at times putting it together, but most of the time just looking like a combination of parts that didn't fit together well. And last night, down 25 points with their season on the line at home, it was, yeah, right, this is how the Oklahoma City season's going to end. So much talent, so much potential, and yet here they are, backs against the wall. They're at home to save their season, and they don't even care. It was too perfect. I looked at that, and I said, might as well turn off the game. What's there to watch? This Thunder team doesn't want to be together. Paul George is going to leave in the offseason. Carmelo is toast. The guy's got nothing left. This thing is over. Say goodnight, Irene. And whoa. Russ and Paul George went bonkers at the end of the third quarter. Absolutely bonkers. And then into the fourth quarter, and you blink, and the Thunder had saved their season 107-99. And where was that all season?
Westbrook back of an Adams pick. Stutter steps. Slices right. Pulls up. Pops. 13-foot jumper. Drops. Russell's got 45. Timeout Jazz as Westbrook is shaking his head. There's nobody guarding him in the second half, baby. 35 for Westbrook since intermission. Thunder 107, the Jazz 99. Largest lead tonight for the home team.
It's winning to go home, regardless of you know, what's going on throughout the game. You always got to give yourselves a chance to win. I thought our guys did a good job of that tonight. Our team did an amazing job of sticking together and coming out with the win.
That was Matt Pinto on Thunder Radio. That was Russ Westbrook after the game. Look at some of the numbers that the Thunder puts up with its superstars. Last night, Russ, 45 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists. And every jump shot he took in the second half, he hit. Every shot he took, he hit in the second half. And look at Paul George, 34 points. 8 rebounds. Those two guys were phenomenal. Not surprisingly, Carmelo made 2 shots last night. 2. I mean, talk about toast. I think Lala would be more effective on the floor right now for the Thunder. But Russ Westbrook joins this list of players ever with 45, 15, and 5 of the playoffs, okay? 45, 15, and 5. Last night he had 45, 15, and 7. This is the list of players that had 45, 15, and 5 in the postseason ever. Wilt Chamberlain, LeBron James.
Wow.
That's how filthy Russ was last night, and I don't know why they don't play like this all the time. I'm not saying that you need to get 45, 15, and 5 out of Russ Westbrook every night, but I am wondering how it's possible when you have that much talent on the floor, you could be so herky-jerky, you could be so inconsistent, you could fall behind by 25. How is that possible? Why does it take so long? Why did it take until now for the Thunder to play its best basketball? I don't know. I mean, look, it takes 39 shots for Russ to do that. He is a dynamic, fascinating, fun player to watch. He's one of the most unique players in NBA history. But I just don't understand why the Thunder can't ever seem to get on the same page, and why does it take so long for them? And I got to tell you, this is a team that has seemingly played with no guts, no want, no compete level, no desire the entire season and this postseason series. And then last night, when all seemed lost, down 25, they showed up like that. I mean, it reminds me of the line in Dumb and Dumber. Just when we thought you had no heart, hated one another, couldn't wait for the season to end, you go and do something like this and totally redeem yourself. It's a big win by OKC, but remember, they just got waxed in Salt Lake City in games 3 and games 4, and now they got to go back. And supposedly, Donovan Mitchell said to the crowd on his way out of that stadium, "We'll see y'all next season." In other words, we're not coming back here for Game 7. So it is on. It's Mitchell and the Jazz looking to close out at home in a Game 6 over the Thunder. Maybe OKC found something. I mean, look, at this point in time, you're basically going to have to bank on Carmelo giving you nothing. Certainly not on defense. And if he can't give you anything on offense, he's not worth whatever money you've got painted, whatever money you've got allocated, whatever money you've got on him. No. He's never going to play defense, so he's at least got to give you some offense, and he's not doing that. But Paul George and Russell Westbrook give you a chance to win any basketball game. Maybe something clicked. I have a feeling this was a stay of execution, and they'll lose in Game 6 on the road in Salt Lake. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Okay, so today is draft day. First round of the draft coming up tonight. The Browns rumor mill has been churning overtime over the last 2 weeks. When we come back, what do we believe and what do we dismiss from all of the noise coming out of Cleveland recently about who they'll take at number one? That is next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
UNCBS, you're looking good.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And there's a brand new Nomad episode out. I go to a real-life Willy Wonka chocolate factory, a factory of food happiness, which you check it out, which includes pork rinds and figuring out what exactly is a pork rind. That's this week's Nomad. Simply search my name and Nomad on YouTube. You'll see the digital travel series and check it out there and subscribe, because now we've got promotional items that come along with subscribing to Nomad. Hopefully you guys got your koozies and enjoy them.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Also, today's toll-free line, as always, for CBS Sports Radio is 855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in on the NBA playoffs, on last night's Game 7, Bruins and Leafs, the NFL draft today brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Paul tweets, DA, during our daily 8 a.m. morning meeting, my boss had the new guy introduce her ruined. I would take Bradley.
I would take Bradley.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
I would take Bradley.
I would take Bradley.
Every time I hear Baker Mayfield's name now, I think they're pronouncing it wrong.
Baker Mayfield.
I'm like, Mayfield? That's wrong. It's Mazel. And every time I see somebody write Saquon Barkley in some type of piece or mock draft, I'm saying, that's wrong. It's Bradley.
I will take Bradley.
My mind is turned into oatmeal because I don't know what's real and what's not because of this show. This damn show. I would take Bradley.
I will take Bradley.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
So yesterday here on the show, we had London Fletcher join us. He played like a billion years of the NFL. Analyst for Tops, that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network, amongst other stuff on CBS Sports Network, including their draft special. And London Fletcher talking about the Browns at number one. I'm asking him, okay, what quarterback do you take? What do we believe? Could they really be looking at Baker Mayfield number one? And London Fletcher goes ahead and drops this.
If I was drafted for the Browns at one, I would take Saquon Barkley.
You would take Saquon number one overall?
He is the best player in this draft.
With all due respect to London Fletcher, I vehemently disagree. Vehemently disagree. The Cleveland Browns have been without a franchise quarterback for 30 years. Do I need to break out the jersey that has the names of all those bums taped onto the back of it?
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed, he's a bum.
Do I need to go down the list of absolute trash the Browns have had at quarterback since they became the new Browns in 1999? You want me to? Because I'll do it. I'll do it. Don't test me, London. Okay, you want it? Let's do it. Tim Couch, Kelly Holcomb, Jeff Garcia, Trent Dilfer, Channing Frye. I think that was Channing Frye, or is that a basketball player? Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn, Colt McCoy, Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon's a bum.
Charlie Fry, Jason Campbell, Brian Hoyer, Josh McCown. I think it's that McCown. Could be Luke. I don't know. Cody Kessler, Deshaun Kaiser. We didn't even throw in Johnny Manziel. Let me just go over that list for you again since 1999. Let's start. Tim Couch, Kelly Holcomb, Jeff Garcia, Dilfer, a Fry, Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn, not LeSean, Colt McCoy, Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon's a bum.
Jason Campbell, Hoyer, a McCown, Cody Kessler, Deshaun Kaiser, Johnny Manziel. And you want to take a running back number one in the deepest quarterback draft in the NFL in more than a decade? I mean, come on. The Browns have been shopping at the thrift store for 25 years. And they have just been handed $500 and said, go pick out a nice suit at Men's Warehouse. Or they've been given $1,000 and said, go pick out a nice suit at Armani. I mean, they have been given the number one pick in the draft because they're so awful at this. In the best quarterback draft in 14 years since 2004, and maybe the second best quarterback draft since 1983. And you want to take sloppy seconds? You want to take leftovers? You want to take who's ever there at number four? If the Giants take Sam Darnold and the Jets take Baker Mayfield?
Baker Mayfield.
Then you just want the third hand-me-down? No!
Are you kidding me?
Which is why I have always said, no matter how good Saquon Barkley is at that position, you cannot take a running back one. You can't. Not in today's NFL. If this was 1975, I might feel different. If this was O.J. Simpson in 1969, if this was Earl Campbell in 1978, I might feel different. But it's not. It's a different league. It's a different time. So you've got to take a quarterback. And now there's Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
Rumors coming out of Cleveland that Mayfield is the pick at number one. I got to tell you, I hate that idea. I hate it. I have to feel as though the Browns can't take that risk at number one, and they know it because both Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold are safer, steadier picks. And I got to believe they know that. And what they're doing is they're pushing Baker Mayfield out there, hoping to scare somebody out of the weeds to trade up into number one that really loves Baker Mayfield, which is also why I think they floated Josh Allen out of Wyoming over the last couple of weeks, hoping to scare somebody out of the weeds to trade into number one to grab Josh Allen. I think that's what they're doing, creating smoke screens to see if a team will come forward and say, oh, they really like Allen, or oh, they really like Mayfield. Well, we really like those guys. We want to trade into that slot. Because the fact of the matter is, Baker Mayfield at number one is too hardy of a risk in that situation. Could Baker Mayfield be a very good quarterback in the NFL? I'm certainly not going to say that he can't. Based on just sheer size, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, guys that have gotten it done at a shorter stature, there could be a space for that. But Baker Mayfield also runs really hot. He's overly emotional in my mind. And is he a leader? Yeah, he's a leader. But he also, to me, lacks the temperament to be the franchise quarterback, and keep this in mind, this is the key, of a losing team. If Baker Mayfield's winning and everything is cool and he's got big games in front of him, maybe Mayfield is a great solution. But the fact is, the Browns will not be in that situation for a while. So you've got to draft the guy that is able this year, depending on when he gets in, to go 4-12. And let's even say he doesn't get in this year and Tyrod Taylor starts the entire season, which I think is probably unlikely. I think at some point you would see the number one draft pick in. Maybe it's the final 4 or 5 weeks of the season. But then next year, you've got to be ready for your second-year quarterback to go 4-12. This is a process. This does not happen overnight. It doesn't usually happen like Carson Wentz, where in year two, you've got a Super Bowl contender around you and you're racing to an MVP and a Super Bowl appearance. No, usually a number one draft pick overall that goes at quarterback, and Carson Wentz was number two, but usually you're surrounded by a bad team and the Browns are a really bad team. They just went 0-16. Baker Mayfield's not wired right now to be the quarterback of a 2-14 squad. You've got to get a guy that, to me, head of the shoulders, even keel, can be mature, can be professional, can be diplomatic. When you lose, and there's expectations, I mean, think about this. Whoever they draft is going to throw some bad INTs. Whoever they draft is going to have a couple of bad games. And whoever they draft is going to hear, oh my God, the Browns blew it again. Inevitable. At some point in time, whoever they draft will look bad. Or they will lose bad games because the team is bad. And somebody, somewhere, usually lots of people somewhere, are going to go, oh, God, the Browns drafted another bum.
Hole snapper and third string quarterback.
I don't think Baker Mayfield is wired to hear the Browns drafted another bum. I don't think Baker Mayfield is wired to go 2-14 or 4-12 and still every day meet the media. Well, we got to do this better. I got to do this better. You know, that's on me. I've got to be better here. Yeah, I'm trying to learn, but I think that we're improving. And, you know, that is a skill set. Matt Ryan's really good at that. Matt Ryan is always even. Always here. Tom Brady's really good at that. Don't say anything. Talk up your guys. Drew Brees, really good at that. There's a Ben Roethlisberger type of quality to Baker Mayfield. And look, Roethlisberger's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. But Roethlisberger, in his rookie season, went 15-1. He walked into a situation where they could win right away. And what has happened to Ben Roethlisberger when the Steelers have not been good? When they've lost games? When he's thrown five INTs against the Jaguars? I don't know. Maybe I don't have it. I don't know. If Baker's going to be that type of guy, and I think he is, you don't want him trying to build the Browns back from 0-16. He can't be the pick tonight. It's got to be Rosen or Darnold. And I know that people think that Rosen's arrogance is a turnoff. I don't, personally, because I think that Josh Rosen is just really confident in his abilities and says the things the other guys think. But I don't think that he is wired like Mayfield, where if you lose a bunch of games, he's going to just freak out, be frustrated, temperamental, maybe outrageously emotional at times. I don't think you worry about that with Josh Rosen, as he has called himself painfully boring. Painfully consistent is what he has described himself as from a quarterback standpoint. That I'm just going to do the right thing over and over and over and over again and know that that's how you get results. And that's what he said. He said, look at my mechanics. Look at how I quarterback. I'm going to do the same thing over and over and over again, like Brady, like Breeze. You just do it that way. He goes, that's quarterbacking. And he's right. But some people don't like his arrogance. He certainly has a chip on his shoulder. He certainly speaks his mind. And so maybe people don't like that about him going into a situation like Cleveland. I disagree, but fine. The pick tonight has got to be Darnold or Rosen. And it can't be Josh Allen either, because Josh Allen, he might never get there. He might get there, and it might be great, but he might never get there. He is a project. It is an investment in time. And if you are going to win with Josh Allen, it's not going to happen until 3 years from now. I realize that Darnold is not quite there the same way Rosen is yet, but I still think he's consistent. He's stable. He's one of those guys that will say the right thing all the time. And he's got a huge upside. I think he puts it all together to where the Browns have to take him at number one. I don't believe anything else that's happening. I think they're going to take him at number one, and that would be the right pick. I don't believe the Giants are going to take Saquon Barkley at number two either. As I've said all along, I think that's a smokescreen for Dave Gettleman trying to get somebody to trade up to get Barkley, because the Giants know they never draft a number two. If you're 6-10, 7-9, 9-7, you never get to draft in the top five. So suddenly they get to draft the top five in one of the best quarterback drafts ever. You got to take that pick or get bowled over by a deal and then let somebody else take a quarterback there. I think it's going to be QB 1, 2, 3. And you know the Jets are going to take a quarterback, because they don't trade up into number three without taking a quarterback. Apparently, they didn't have a top 30 visit that didn't include a quarterback. Mraz, to your beloved Giants, do the expected and select Saquon Barkley today?
No. I think it's a quarterback or a trade.
And are you pro that?
Very pro that. I would be very angry if it was Barkley. If you're not going to take a quarterback or trade, I think you take Bradley Chubb and build it on pass rush the way Gettleman did in Carolina, overtaking a running back that high. It just doesn't make any sense, especially when you're drafting high in the second round. And what is the drop-off between that and, say, a Ronald Jones from USC in the second round? I'm sorry. I just think taking a running back is a luxury at that time, and a luxury the Giants cannot afford in the top five.
I could see Barkley slipping all the way to number five, because it could go quarterback, 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 then Bradley Chubb at four to the Browns on the back end.
Absolutely could. Although the Browns getting two, asking the Browns to get two things right at 1-4 is asking a lot. So ask them to take their best quarterback they feel plus a pass rusher. That's hard for me to buy that they'll nail both picks. I could see them taking Barkley at four and going running back down that, you know, not that he's Trent Richardson, but thinking along those lines again.
Tonight, we'll have coverage here of the NFL draft. Taz and the Moose, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. So tune in for complete coverage. And then, as I mentioned, tomorrow morning we will be must-listen-to radio on this show because I will go over the entire draft, things I liked, things I didn't like, trades that made sense, trades that were busts in my mind, where guys went that I liked, where guys went that I didn't like. I got it all covered tomorrow morning beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time right here on CBS Sports Radio. So for complete coverage, reaction, and opinion on tonight's first round, keep it locked here tomorrow morning. When we come back, let's talk draft day memories and grade out the quarterbacks with a guy that's in a ring of honor. Tiki Barber is going to join us coming up here next on the show to break down the draft. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.